times two or three. Sort of like a registration fee. Went up 100%.
With information evasion.
If you want to wait for just a second until I get some other members, you're welcome to do that.
I hope some of them come back.
Yeah, I expect they will. It was this end of the table that requested the break.
They really needed it.
Yeah, back to class. Recess is over. Yeah.
We could go to 7 minutes and back to the day.
To your summation?
That's mine.
I need to get something to leave.
Let's get a couple of more. And then, see any more out there, Dick?
I didn't see any more out
Thank you for your indulgence.
We're just waiting to get you back here.
Got the water lined up.
Yeah, he did. Just dehydrate. Should we go through this material?
Both from the speaking and the listening.
That's right.
I read ahead.
Oh, you're done.
So we can adjourn. Okay, go ahead. Thank you for indulging us.
Again, for the record, my name is Craig Campbell, and I'm going to be talking about the subject of evasion, which has also had a great deal of discussion in this process. This is Section 6, if you're following along in your books. It's very important to understand...
You're not ahead of us.
I'm done.
It's very important to understand how evasion occurs under these two systems, and it's also important to understand how evasion of the registration fee can occur. In Oregon, there's never really been a problem with registration fee evasion, but that's primarily because our registration fee has been so low that to the level we have had evasion over our registration fee, it's probably more attributable to reporting of miles based on diesel tax misreporting of miles. While the bill attempts to reduce the risk of evasion by collecting the diesel tax at the rack, it does not address the method most readily available to truckers for evasion. Those who evade under the current weight mile tax system can continue to evade in exactly the same way for both the diesel tax and the registration fee. They merely misreport the number of miles that they spend in other states. And due to the high levels of the diesel tax and the registration fee comparing to neighboring states, there should be ample incentive for them to do so. Currently, this form of evasion is kept low in Oregon due to the high auditing requirements that this state has in place. In Oregon, every company must go through some form of audit every 3 years. That's 33% per year. Furthermore, Oregon auditors can travel anywhere to conduct their audits. Under House Bill 3344, that system would be replaced by the requirements of both IFTA, the International Fuel Tax Agreement, and IRP, the International Registration Program, which require auditing of 15% of the truck companies every 5 years, and we must rely on other states to do the auditing for us for trucking companies that are based out of state. This is 10% of the current level of auditing. And though some of the other states do exceed this auditing requirement, a majority of the states have difficulty meeting the IFTA and IRP requirements. Finally, House Bill 3344 will mean more than auditing only at the rack, since the major form of evasion for truckers under IFTA and IRP is the misreporting of miles that are spent in each state. Audits will have to be conducted on trucking companies based on their reported miles in each state. And those audits must be full-blown because, unlike the weight mile tax, you don't have sufficient information on hand to do report checks submitted in the tax return. IFTA and IRP are reported not based on each truck, but based on the fleet total. So you have to actually go to the trucking company to get the more discrete information. There are other methods of evasion that are exclusive to diesel tax that are not adequately addressed by this bill. They include import and export schemes and cocktailing of dyed fuel. I do want to emphasize one thing. Diesel tax fuel evasion is a very serious and a very lucrative business. The dangers involved are very real, and they involve both blackmail and extortion. A former client's wife of ours was threatened from his efforts to thwart diesel tax evasion schemes in Northern California. So, again, this is it's a pretty serious business when you're talking about non-trucker diesel tax evasion. In order to address these forms of evasion, you have to be prepared to supply enforcement funding to the system that this bill doesn't even touch on. If Oregon moves to a diesel tax system and does not take such precautions, Oregon will be a target, especially since the diesel tax rate in Oregon will be higher than those of surrounding states. Furthermore, since these efforts must be addressed in the field rather than merely through a paper process, as is currently possible with the weight mile tax, those entrusted with inspections and enforcement will need special training, which translates into higher costs. The one state that has done this sort of enforcement correctly is the state of Montana, who has 90 personnel who engage in diesel import-export inspections. You'll remember that one of the testifiers earlier had indicated that Montana had been the one place that his diesel fuel had been checked for dying. That's because they have a very effective program there. Understands that saying that moving the tax to the rack will solve the problem is very much like saying that increasing the penalty for cocaine will stop the problem. It merely requires that those engaged in diesel tax evasion schemes move to different methods. Congress changes the federal income tax code about every 2 years. This is because they discover that lawyers are finding loopholes in the tax that they need to close, so they close those loopholes, and it takes a little while for the attorneys to find new loopholes, so they have to change the taxes again. And the only difference is that diesel tax evasion can actually be a very lucrative process. There are a number of ways to evade the diesel tax. The first is one that we've heard a little bit about today, and that's trucker cocktailing. The trucker adds a non-taxed fuel to their tank in order to cut the cost of fuel. Since many taxed fuels are dyed, this can be detected if there is a mechanism for in-the-field inspections of trucks. Now, there is a mechanism that's used by the IRS, but my understanding is that Oregon has two or three IRS inspectors that will have to be bolstered, and the state will probably have to bolster that sort of enforcement mechanism as well. There are some additives that are not currently dyed, such as used motor oil and fuels that are refined from used motor oil that can be added and can only be detected through a DNA type of testing process. It can't be conducted in the field. The sample has to be taken and sent away to a laboratory for verification. There's also a method of distributor cocktailing. The distributor or shipper of the fuels adds a non-tax fuel to their supply and then sells it as diesel and collects the tax and pockets it. This, too, can be detected if there's sufficient in-the-field enforcement efforts. Since, however, Oregon will be collecting at the rack, those companies who operate the rack end up paying the tax, not the distributor. So provided the rack continues to pay its obligation, it's the rack who's primarily susceptible to this form of scheme, unless the state decides to enforce further down the line. There's also a provision in the bill that forgives the tax obligations of companies that operate the rack for uncollected tax payments. This raises a concern of the specter of daisy chaining operations raising their head, which is something that the moving to the rack was specifically designed to avoid. The Mingo Chastain diesel fuel tax noncompliance study quoted California officials' skepticism about whether a move to the rack would work for very long. The quote was that these people are very good at getting around these things. A good example of distributor type of cocktailing occurred in Nevada, where a Utah petroleum marketing firm made more than $26 million over a one-year period for selling a low-grade process oil 70 either as diesel or laced with diesel to five different marketers in Nevada. The low-grade fuel, which was selling at 40 cents per gallon on the market, was bringing in 61 cents per gallon as diesel. The company's truck drivers carried jars of pure diesel in their cab for purposes of sampling. By the way, the truckers did this knowingly since they were given a kickback for doing so. They also carried typewriters in their cab to type up phony invoices that were purportedly coming from the diesel distributor, even though obviously since it wasn't diesel, there were no real invoices of diesel. Not only did the truck drivers get a kickback, but several of the people who purchased the fuel on behalf of the marketers also got a kickback for doing so. So this is the type of thing that you need to be aware of. That is not even done by the truckers themselves. This is done by separate entities. There's also a series of import-export schemes that take advantage of state policies regarding paying taxes on fuels for export and for import to allow shipment of fuel without ever paying the tax. Some of these forms of evasion have been, to some extent, they're trying something new in the state of Washington, which we hope will have some impact on this. But that only gets to some form of import-export schemes. Let me explain to you what those are. It's generally done by declaring that fuel is being purchased for export, which makes the fuel taxable at the state of destination. But the fuel is never reported at the state of destination, and as a result, the tax is never paid. Another variation is you misidentify the state of destination so as to avoid detection by interstate cooperation. In other words, if you're in one state, you say you're exporting it to state B, when in fact you go to state C. State A contacts state B, you never showed up, and you sold your fuel in state C, who was never contacted. Another method is to pay the taxes on fuel in a lower tax state and then export it to a high tax state. This is less common because there's less financial benefit per load. However, there is also less risk of detection because the state of origin doesn't have any reason to contact the state of destination. One particularly ingenious method of import-export scheme is to declare that the fuel is being exported and then distribute the fuel in the state of origin tax-free. That way you save the cost of actually having transport the fuel. A new twist on this practice was discovered in Montana recently, not surprisingly again because of their enforcement efforts, where trucks were importing fuel that was marked as dyed fuel on the bill of lading. It was a false bill of lading, when in fact they were importing pure diesel. Since the fuel was dyed, no one thought to test the fuel for dye because it was declared as dyed. And no tax was collected on the fuel upon import because dyed fuel is tax exempt. So what happened is they imported it as dyed fuel, didn't even end up having to pay the tax, and didn't have any risk of a dye inspection. Since then, Montana has been watching for that, but they have 90 folks to do so, so it's less likely that that will continue in the state of Montana. But it is something that the state of Oregon needs to continue to worry about. There have been a number of evasion studies, and other than information that's been provided above, by the way, which is based on documented diesel tax evasion cases prosecuted under investigation by the FBI and the IRS, which I have provided information on at the back of this section for you, a list of names of those prosecuted, where available, the value of the evasion that took place. You'll note that some of these are organized crime entities, some of them are not, and that's just another kind of twist to this. The only other substantial information regarding evasion available to the committee is found in three different evasion studies. There's the 1996 diesel fuel fee noncompliance report that was concluded by R.D. Mingo and Associates in Chastain Economic Consulting at the request of the Oregon Department of Transportation. That's included at the back of your packet, which identified that the Oregon diesel fuel noncompliance rates for a 25-cent diesel tax would result in about a 26% evasion rate. It also identifies that the national average for state diesel tax evasion is at about 21.4%. There's also the 1996 weight mile tax study conducted by Cambridge Systematics with SIDEC, Inc. and Pacific Rim Resources at the request of the Legislative Revenue Office, the Public Utilities Commission, when at that point in time they still handled trucking issues, and the Department of Transportation, which found that Oregon's weight mile tax noncompliance rate was between 3 and 7%.
That's true. If I can, I want to stop there, Craig. Testimony last week from Mr. Russell, I'd like you to comment on it. I don't know if you were in the room when he was commenting on that Department of Transportation tax compliance, noncompliance study. I think he indicated that he thought that he characterized it as something other than a tax compliance study. It was a report on audit efficiency or something to that effect. You want to weigh in on that?
Yes, Mr. Chair, Representative Shetterly, what he was referring to was the study that was done by Cambridge Systematics on the late mile tax. It is, I believe I'm going to testify later as to the size of the document, but it dealt with both efficiencies, compliance costs, and a variety of other things. Of the, I believe, 180 pages in that report, 77 pages of that were specifically dealing with evasion. So it certainly handled evasion in a very complete manner. And I'll be talking about that a little bit as well. There was the 1998 New York State 10-mile tax evasion analysis and economic implication studies conducted by Douglas Holtz Eakin of Syracuse University, which found that New York State 10-mile evasion rates would be approximately 44%. The Mingo-Chastain study indicated that New York was suffering from approximately 21% diesel tax evasion, which is about 0.4% less than the national average at that point in time. The New York study, however, has four very distinct problems when it's compared with the Oregon weight mile tax study. The first and simplest, and I hate to sound glib, I don't intend to, is that New York, with very few exceptions, is not Oregon. New York has a diesel tax and a weight mile tax, and its weight mile tax operates on a permit basis. It was the permit requirement that was the foundation of the study. Oregon doesn't use such a system, and it's unclear from the report whether or not the study team was able to differentiate trucks that did not have a permit sticker because they were evading or because they were exempt from the tax and were not required to have the sticker. They very well may have had that knowledge in hand, but the study isn't clear on that point. Second, the New York study is a 24-page study conducted based on 6,265 observations in five locations over a one-week period and was dependent entirely upon the presence or absence of permit stickers on trucks. Furthermore, the study did not have any verification process to determine the accuracy of the observations. The Oregon weight mile tax study is, here's where you get your numbers, a 174-page study, 77 pages of which are directly targeted at evasion, which collected data through four separate studies conducted in 45 sites, including over 1 million observations regarding special vehicle classifications, 31,546 observations in statewide sampling and bypass studies that involved 8,900 actual truck stops, which collected 10 different points of information gathered from each stop. This information was then further verified by comparing the observed data with an auditing evasion study that used 6,577 of the observations in confirming audits on 217 companies. So as a result, you can tell that the quality of the two studies is quite different. Third, we were not surprised to find that the New York study was paid for by the New York State Motor Trucking Association. By the way, that was not identified in the study itself. That trucking association, who, like the Oregon Trucking Association, is also seeking the elimination of New York's weight mile tax. Oregon's highway system is too important to put faith in anecdotal information provided by opponents of Oregon's weight mile tax system or in a study that's paid by opponents of that state's weight mile tax system. This is especially true when that information is so decisively countered by two of the most thorough studies that have ever been conducted in any state on the issue of weight mile and diesel tax evasion, both of which are directly on point for Oregon. The overwhelming evidence indicates that the passage of House Bill 3344, unless significant resources are provided for enforcement and administration evasion under a diesel tax and registration fee, unless significant resources are provided for enforcement and administration, evasion under a diesel tax and registration fee will far out exceed that currently experienced by the weight mile tax. This, of course, would mean less dollars for the highway fund. There's one last point I would have to say, and that is in relation to registration fee. If you have the incentive to evade the registration fee, such as an 11-fold increase or greater in that registration fee, and by evading it in the same way we currently do with the weight mile tax by misreporting your miles, it's true that diesel tax evasion, because diesel tax only now would equate to 30% of the total tax coming in, would bring in percentage-wise less of an evasion factor than the weight mile tax. The registration fee is a greater concern, and since there are no studies on point, you need to be especially careful about putting reliance upon an evasion level before the registration fee. And with that,
Mr. Chair.
Okay, Merkin.
A very important question at this point, which is, you've noted that New York, with few exceptions, is not Oregon. Oh, it'll be something to eat.
Sales tax, pumping your own gas. Because, you know, one of the comments that's oftentimes made is that we're one of the only five states in the nation that still have the weight mile. But you can tick off another other things, like the bottle bill and so forth, which put us in a pretty good class. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this is kind of like the OK Corral. You know, you bring your state up, and I'll bring my state up. And one of the things that's been extremely important to us is comparisons of other states. And one of them has been Nevada, and the Transportation Committee, the head of the Trucking Association of Nevada, came up and testified on how well their program was working. And many of the concerns that we've raised actually occurred in the state of Nevada following its elimination of weight mile taxes in 1989. Despite the fact that the change occurred 10 years ago, the adverse impact of that decision is still a struggle for them. Our concern is that Oregon's experience will be similar to what happened in Nevada, a state whose tax structure was more like Oregon's than Arizona's was. Garth Dull, the director of the Nevada Department of Transportation in 1989 when this happened, indicated that the Nevada Motor Transport Association and their version of the OTA told the Nevada legislature in 1988 that their proposal to eliminate their weight mile tax would be revenue neutral and it wouldn't shift responsibility from interstate trucks to intrastate trucks. We've enclosed a copy of Nevada's most recent cost responsibility study. It happens to be the 1994 study. They're in the process right now of doing a cost responsibility study in Nevada, and the indications that we were able to get is that the results are not going to be too different than from the 1994 study. We have provided you with this story for one simple reason. The 1994 Nevada cost responsibility study should give us pause to think. In 1994, 5 years after the Nevada Motor Transport Association bill passed, trucks as a whole were paying $297 million a year less than their obligation under cost responsibility. In addition, 80,000-pound intrastate trucks were paying double the per-mile rate of the 80,000-pound interstate trucks. Think of it as a glimpse of Oregon 5 years from now. I want to spend a few minutes on Arizona as well, because that, I understand you had someone here to testify from Arizona. You heard a little bit about what's occurred in the state of Arizona as a result of the elimination of their weight distance tax, and now we're going to provide you with what Paul Harvey says the rest of the story. Arizona, through the passage of Senate Bill 1144, eliminated their weight mile tax, which at that time was raised approximately $70 million. The bill was originally intended only to eliminate the state's diesel tax surcharge of 8 cents and move it to the rack. From what we understand from people we talked to in ADOT, the Arizona Trucking Association indicated they would not support the bill unless the elimination of the weight mile tax was included. Though there was no real discussion about weight mile tax evasion in conjunction with the bill, there was substantial discussion about the fact that the diesel surcharge of 8 cents was only bringing in about 5 cents of revenue, which meant a tremendous amount of evasion. That translates to an evasion rate of 37%. The state eliminated the surcharge under a separate bill with a different implementation date and added 9 cents to the state's diesel tax at the rack in the form of an 8 cent increase and a 1 cent increase that will a sunset in the year 2000. When they eliminated the weight mile tax, they raised $26 million of credits from six other sources and raised the remaining $44 million by doubling the registration fee. From our discussion with the Department of Transportation in Arizona, the increase in revenue being enjoyed there is not a result of recouped evasion of the weight mile tax. It's attributed to an increased revenue generated from the elimination of the diesel tax surcharge, and an upswing in the state's economy. Had it merely been a result of the elimination of the weight mile tax, revenues would not have grown consistently under every other tax category in Arizona. They would have only grown under those revenue streams that were directly impacted by the bill. There was a problem with the increase in the state's registration fee as well, because three states failed to collect the increase under IRP. One state still has not remitted last year's collection, nor this year's collections. That state is California. The reason for the mishap is that those states did not have the staff, according to them, to change the computer system to take into account Arizona's new registration fee due to the dedication of computer staff addressing the Y2K problem. This exposes another of the risks involved in 3344. By placing such a large portion of our revenues into registration fees, we must rely on other states to make sure those revenues are properly handled. House Bill 3344 utilizes an implementation date which places both registration and diesel tax revenues from out-of-state trucking companies at considerable risk. This might be an appropriate time for me to mention that one of the revenue neutrality areas that you'll remember was the reduction of staff in ODOT. When you have an opportunity to have somebody from ODOT testify in front of you, ask them what kind of staff additions they have proposed to handle the new diesel tax, and ask them if, indeed, the problems that we've identified today will be covered by additional staff people in investigating such things as daisy chaining and dyed fuel and et cetera. It looks to us like what they're doing is removing all the audit teams. That, of course, is one of the reasons we have a low evasion in Oregon, is because of the audit teams, and not replacing them with anything, certainly not from a dollar standpoint. By the way, the official position of the Arizona Department of Transportation about the change maintaining revenue neutrality in their highway funding is that they will not know until October, but they do remain hopefully optimistic. I provided more complete records on the Arizona financial situation resulting from the change as supplements to your packet. For the last 5 years, we've been engaged in this debate. We've never been given the opportunity to work toward improving our existing system. Every session, we spend our time fighting an ill-conceived attempt to eliminate the weight mile tax. We've offered to work with the trucking industry to address their concerns, but every time we do, the issue is how best to address the problem is quickly brushed aside in favor of moving toward the agenda of eliminating the tax. House Bill 3344 is not cost responsible. It creates a severe shift onto Oregon's small trucking businesses, and it's certainly not revenue neutral. It doesn't make sense to increase the gas tax 4 to 6 cents if a substantial part of that money has to be used to make up the revenues lost as a result of this bill. I would urge you to resist promises that will take care of the shortfall in the future. This bill is merely an attempt to meet national goal to eliminate the weight mile tax in the 5 states where it still exists. It's not the OTA that we have to have meet those promises. It's the legislature. There are new technologies available that will make the reporting requirements for trucking companies and the Department of Transportation almost non-existent. Those same technologies will eliminate the ability of trucks to evade their tax obligations. In fact, a seminar was just held in Portland on this technology last Friday. What we are sharing with you is that if the concerns that have been raised are really the problems, then House Bill 3344 seeks to address them, then there are better and more economical ways of dealing with them than exposing Oregon's highway fund to such a significant risk. The Oregon motoring public, and as you can tell, we represent AAA, although we have identified major concerns for small trucking companies in Oregon, does not for good reason support the direction of House Bill 3344. If this bill passes into law, it will only be a matter of time before small trucking folks will find out about their new registration fees, and motorists will discover that they're paying increased taxes to subsidize large trucking companies. And by the way, you're the ones that will receive the call. Don't pass this bill for the wrong reasons. We strongly urge you to vote against House Bill 3344, and we thank you for your overabundance of patience.
Thank you very much. I'm going to go ahead and adjourn now, but if we do have questions tomorrow, we'll start off with you first before we get to the folks so we can have it.
By tomorrow, you should have a series of questions.
We'll have these all memorized. Thank you. We're at